that I am so thankful to God for Koinonia and who Koinonia is. And first of all, Koinonia is a community of people who are loving and forgiving. And I just love coming to church on the weekends, and I love to be in this community and see you all in the community and know that you are loving people, that you welcome others with open arms, and that you don't judge people based on how they look. You don't judge people based on the color of their skin, or you don't judge people on the basis of what they do, but you see them through the eyes of Christ. And not every church is like that. And it's wonderful to be in a place like Koinonia where love is expressed. And I hope that you feel that love this morning and experience that love. And I hope that you just continue to be, as a church, such a loving church, because it's a great place to be. Secondly, I love to be in a church like Koinonia that loves to worship God. When I come in on Sunday mornings, I'm surrounded by people who are here to worship. And they know that their purpose in life is to give praise to God. And that's an awesome thing and something that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that Koinonia is so giving. We talked about the pantry a moment ago, and the pantry wouldn't be possible without your involvement, your gifts. But Koinonia is giving in so many different ways. The people of Koinonia are giving in terms of their time and their service. This morning there are people all the way down the hallways in all these classrooms that are helping our kids and training them and teaching them the Bible and loving on them and just praying over them. And it's just awesome to see people who are involved in the ministries of Koinonia because they love Jesus and because they love the community. And there's ushers this morning and guest services counter people. There's people at the cafe. And there's people throughout this building right now, and then there's people throughout the week who are involved in giving of their time and service. And I'm grateful to be with a people who understand the importance of service. I'm grateful to Koinonia because you open your home so frequently. When we do small groups, many of you open your homes and you make your homes a place of ministry. And that is just an incredible thing. And I'm grateful that you give of your resources, not just your time and energy, not just your home, but you give of your financial resources. This building wouldn't be here unless Koinonia were a giving church and allowed God to work through you in terms of your finances. And I just want to say thank you for that. Rise and Build, our building campaign, wouldn't have happened. This building wouldn't be here if you weren't so generous. And Koinonia has always been a generous church. Koinonia has always been a church that has been giving, and we have not had to be concerned about paying the electricity bill this next month. And believe me, in this building, sometimes the electricity bill is quite expensive. And we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because Koinonia is such a giving church. And so I just want to say thank you to God for you. And I hope that you experience in Koinonia Church that truly is a joy to be a part of. And I hope you're thankful for that, and thank you for being a part. And finally, I just want to say thank you for being a church where it's wonderful to raise my family. Like I said, I have four little ones, and there's a lot of people in the classroom, I'm sure, that are fed up with my boys. And yet they continue to love on them every week. And it's great to come to church and to know a community and to be living in a community of people that I believe in, that I trust, that I love, and that even if they don't feel like it, they smile when they see me coming. And that's a wonderful thing. And so I just want to say thank you to you. And I want to give you to give yourselves a hand. And let's just thank God for how awesome He is in that. Now, I'd like to take a moment and give you the opportunity to say thank you in just maybe 30 to 60 seconds, so we're going to keep it short, but Roger and Chris have mics, and they'll come to your seat. And so if you would like to just share a reason that you are thankful this season, just raise your hand, and they'll come to you, and we'll just do a few of these. And so as one shares, Chris will be looking, and vice versa. And so just raise your hand, and let's just hear from you.
My name's Debbie, and I started coming here about 2.5 years ago, and the Lord has been working in my life since I was quite young. When I got baptized, I asked for wisdom, and when I found out wisdom comes through perilous times sometimes, I stopped, but He kept giving it to me, and He has brought me through a vicious rape, a very difficult accident that I almost died from. In fact, they thought I was dead. And He just cured me of kidney. They thought I was going to be dead by now. And I'm here alive, and it's thanks to Him. And praise His name.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I can't stand, but my name's Elaine Garcia. It's April of this month, April to now. I went through a very, very hard time. A lot of you know, I don't have to tell you what it was, but if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. It happened on Wednesday of April, and I wasn't going to come to church. And I sat on the edge of the bed Thursday morning, and I was thinking about killing myself. And I turned my radio on, and that song, There's a Light at the End of the Tunnel, came on. And I said, okay, Lord, I could get through this. And I am driving, I am doing everything that I have never, ever done before, and God's the only one that's gave me the power and the courage to do it. Without him, I wouldn't be here today. And I thank the church, all of you that have prayed for me through this, loved me, and showed me that how much you care. And I just want to thank my church family for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to give thanks to God for his provisions. For the first 7 months of the year, I was working maybe 32, 28 hours a week, and it wasn't meeting my needs as much as I would like them to. And so I had asked for a layoff, and I had been singing with the choir, and I came on the first evening, and we prayed together, and I asked the Lord to just open some doors and provide me with a job that would help me financially, and he did. He opened some doors, and I actually was working 70 hours a week, doubled my finances, and has seen me through the winter, and I just give him all the praises and all the glory for that, and I just want to say thanks to all your prayers. And
I'll just take a minute just to thank God. We've always enjoyed Thanksgiving, such a wonderful time. And this year we shared Thanksgiving with my new daughter-in-law-to-be. And I thank God for the new addition to our family.
Yeah. I just thank and praise God for this last study that we went through. Because it has truly gotten me back on course. Because like for years I've been kind of disconnected to from my family. Just kind of still coming, but feeling disconnected. And I thank God for the leadership that heard God's voice and said, this was what I needed. I believe you needed it too, but I needed this study to get back on course. And I thank God for that.
I'd like to thank God for this church and the pantry as well. I went over there and got a turkey and stuff. That really helped my family out. And my family's really involved with this church. I'm an on and offer. I come here and there. But my kids love the thing. They come with my grandma, my dad Keith, and Uncle Daniel. And so thank you.
Just one or two more.
I came to Koinonia. It's been about 10 years ago I started. And the reason I started to come to Koinonia is because of my daughter met Adam Medeiros' daughter and said to me, Dad, we should go to this church called Koinonia. So I came. And I was probably the worst person you'd ever want to meet. I had a drug problem. I did things that were so far away from any kind of Christian life. But I'm here today. I was saved at this church. I got baptized at this church. And thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, thank you. Let's just take a moment and bow our heads and let's just say thank you. Lord, we just once again, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just tell him thank you. Just tell him how much you appreciate him. Lord, we just take this moment. We pause and we truly say thank you to you. We look at our lives, God, and what we see is mercy, and we see grace poured out upon us. And Lord, there are things certainly that we see that are hindering us and problems, but through all of that, what we see is you are sovereign and you are good. You're a father who loves his children. And Lord, so we just say thank you today. We just worship you this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us and help us not to forget. Help us not to get into, to take things for granted and just get into a rut, Lord, where we would forget what you have done. Thank you, Lord, most of all for Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the sacrifice of your Son who washes us and cleanses us and makes us so that we might be whole again and might know you. We praise you today. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I'm thankful that Pastor Tim is off this weekend because I get to share with you. But he did warn me that if I go overtime, if I go late, that it would be bad. And so we're going to go very quickly over the next few minutes, and I want to talk with you about having a suddenly moment, having a suddenly moment. And if you look in your bulletin, normally you would find an outline. This week there is no outline. And so I hope that you are thankful for all the other weeks where there is found an outline. And for those of you that would like to take notes today, I just encourage you to take the responsibility to take the pen and pencil that you have and paper to write down notes. But I want to talk to you about suddenly, in a suddenly moment. Let me read to you a short story. Longtime actress and comedian Gracie Allen once received a small live alligator as a gag. Not knowing what to do with it, Gracie placed it in the bathtub and then left for an appointment. When she returned home, she found this note from her maid. "Dear Miss Allen, sorry, but I have quit. I don't work in houses where there is an alligator. I'd have told you this when I started, but I never thought it would come up." There are things in our life that come up that we don't expect. There are times in our life when we have suddenly moments. And I want to talk to you this morning about a suddenly moment. A suddenly moment is that moment when God shows up on the scene and things change. And I believe that we are a people that need a suddenly moment from God. And I believe that we are the kind of people who God wants to touch with a suddenly moment. As I read a little while ago, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and this is the section of scripture that I want to read to you this morning and talk a little about, there's a verse here that jumped out at me about a suddenly moment. And so if you have a Bible, open up your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to read a significant part of the chapter, and so I hope that you would stay with me. And Gene in the video room, I'm going to jump a couple of other verses, so I'm going to keep you on your toes because I've edited a little bit more because my wife fell asleep while I was reading the chapter in the first service. But this chapter is a chapter about King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah came to the throne of Judah during a time after which his father had been a very wicked king and had decided to go in every other direction other than following God. And he had converted the temple into the use for worshiping other idols and other gods. And it was just a very bad place. And King Hezekiah came onto the scene and inherited the throne. And he decided that things were going to change. And this is how it starts in verse 1. It says, "Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, 'Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him.'" Let's jump down to verse 10. Says, "Now it is in my heart," this is Hezekiah, "now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him and burn incense." Verse 16, "Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So it was a lot of debris, obviously, in the temple. It took them 8 days just to get to the vestibule. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its artifacts, and the table of the showbread with all its articles." And jump down to verse 27. It says this, "Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began, with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel." So all the assembly worshipped. The singers sang and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads and worshipped. So the service of the house of the Lord, verse 35, was set in order. And this is the verse that jumped out at me. It says, "Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people, since the events that took place, so suddenly. Here it is, Hezekiah comes to the throne, and he decides that something it needs to change. He decides that the reign of his father had been a wicked one and that he was going to do something different. And so he decided there in that first month that he was going to clean the temple up and get it back to a place where it should have been. And it takes a series of weeks. And then it says at the end of verse 36, the people were amazed because it happened so suddenly. They had a suddenly moment in that day where they suddenly, things changed. Once, for the last 20 years, it had been wicked, and now things were going in a different direction. Now, in some ways, it seems that this suddenly moment happened very fast. I mean, from the perspective of Hezekiah, it looked like about 3 weeks or 2 weeks happened, because about 18 days before they had it all cleaned up, and then they consecrated it. But from another perspective, this suddenly moment was a long time coming. King Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, ruled for 20 years, and it was a very evil and wicked rule, and for 20 years the temple had been used in ways that were not appropriate and did not worship God the Father. And so the people had been waiting for 20 years, and all of a sudden, things changed. Have you ever had a suddenly moment? A suddenly moment's those kind of moments when God shows up on the scene and things change. Got a definition up here. What is a suddenly moment? A suddenly moment is this, a divine moment in our lives when God steps in and changes things. Suddenly moments are a part of our life. A suddenly moment when God steps in, he can take a situation and reverse it entirely. I don't know where you're at in your family situation. I don't know where you're at in your finances. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know that when God shows up, that things can be reversed. I know that oftentimes we get stuck in the expectation that things are not going to change. We have oftentimes dealt with things for so long in our lives, terminal tendencies that we have, situations, that relationships that just seem to be going nowhere, and we begin to think that things could never change. And I want to tell you this morning that God has a suddenly moment for you when things can change. When suddenly he can come on the scene and things can turn around. Moses, when he was on the mountain, he experienced a suddenly moment. And one of the things that we can say for sure about a suddenly moment, let me just give you a couple of the characteristics of a suddenly moment, is that suddenly moments are holy moments. When God shows up, there's something qualitatively different about that moment. When Moses was on the mountain and God appeared to him, it says that he bowed down and worshiped. And see, when God shows up on the scene, there's like a whole new breath of air that comes in, and it changes everything else, and you just go, whoa, hands off, God just showed up, something's different about this moment. You know what? It's time to worship. It's time to worship. At a suddenly moment, not too long ago, I was driving down the 405. I have a lot of suddenly moments in the car. I tend to drive an accelerated pace, and so suddenly moments are frequent. But this was one suddenly moment that was very memorable for me. My wife and I were driving down to a conference, and Pastor Jeff and Courtney Acton were in the car behind us. We were carpooling down. And we were in the carpool lane on the 405. 405 freeway, I believe, is the busiest freeway in the world, in the United States, certainly. And we were in the carpool lane in Los Angeles, not going south, not quite to the airport. And suddenly, we saw up ahead of us smoke. And we saw some debris fly, and we saw brake lights. And so I hit the brakes and of course, immediately looked in my rearview mirror because Jeff was following quickly behind me. We were making wonderful time. And he was following behind me, and he began to hit his brakes. And what he said to me is later on is he said he realized that he was not slowing down fast enough at that moment. So he hit the brakes harder. And what happened when he hit the brakes harder is that the rear wheels locked up, and his car began to fishtail. And I watched as in slow motion in the rearview mirror, his car fishtail out of the carpool lane, the rear end of it, into oncoming traffic and fishtail back towards that center line divider wall right next to the carpool lane and fishtail out again and then swing back into the carpool lane and smack into that concrete wall with his rear bumper. And it shot him out across four lanes of traffic, filled with traffic on the 405. And I watched him almost perpendicular to these four lanes go right across all four lanes with cars all around him. And he was not touched. It was amazing. It was amazing. And so very quickly, they proceeded, because all the other traffic had stopped. How they got through, I don't know. Pulled over to the side of the road, and Carrie and I pulled over to the side of the road, and we got out of the car, and I tell you what, we had a holy moment. We experienced a holy moment. The 405 at that moment was transformed into a place of worship. We just went, my God, that was amazing. Only by your grace. I mean, there was no other way. Jeff said he saw the eyes of the woman that was headed towards him at a rapid clip and saw her eyes grow and the car come forward, and it was just amazing that they were not touched. Their car was barely harmed at all. It was a suddenly moment for us. And we stood on the side and we just said, Lord, thank you. You're awesome. You're real. You're alive. And suddenly moments are those kind of moments when you recognize that God is on the scene. And what you have to do at that moment is just say, man, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I recognize it that you have showed up, that something is different here. Second characteristic of a holy moment, or a suddenly moment, is that suddenly moments are always a surprise, but they should never be unexpected. If you notice this about life, that life is filled with moments where things just change all of a sudden. And that's the way things are. I mean, we go along, and in the blink of an eye, things can change. And we should not be surprised when suddenly moments happen, because they are a part of life. You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and He loves us, and we should expect that He's going to show up. We should anticipate that He wants to be involved in our life. We should not be surprised when it happens. When it's going to happen, we don't know, but we shouldn't be surprised when it happens. In Matthew 8:24, we see the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples, remember? And he's sleeping. And it says in verse 24, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. Now, fishermen know that when they go to fish on the ocean or on a large body of water, that they can expect that there will be times when they will experience bad weather. It would be foolish not to expect that, wouldn't it? Because they know that they have the kind of occupation and they live in the kind of world where storms happen, and they can happen suddenly. And so a smart fisherman goes prepared. Because even if it's sunny and the day is bright and beautiful, when you head out in the morning, it may change all of a sudden. And you and I live lives, and we need to expect that life can change. We need to expect that God could show up. We need to expect that a suddenly moment can happen. But oftentimes, let me just tell you, we go through our life stuck in the routine, and we forget that God can show up. We forget that a suddenly moment could be on the horizon. We need to expect that the waves can come People that don't expect waves to happen oftentimes are suddenly surprised. But you and I, as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, don't need to be surprised. We need to expect that a suddenly moment can happen. Number three, suddenly moments change things. In 2 Chronicles, there in the section that we read, verse 18 says this, "Then they went into King Hezekiah and said, 'We have cleansed all the house of the Lord.'" So the last 20 years, the temple had been filled with debris and rubbish and all of the things associated with worship of idols and of other gods. And suddenly in this moment, King Hezekiah made the decision to clean it out. And in a matter of just a few weeks, the temple was set back to its right purpose. And once again, they were able to worship God the way they were supposed to. Matthew chapter 9 tells the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Many of you know this story. But Jesus, and I'll just paraphrase it for you, but Jesus is moving in the crowd, and from the account in the Gospels, you really get the sense that there is a crush of people that are surrounding Jesus. And they can't help but not bump and move into him. And the woman who desperately needs healing reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. And the issue of blood that she'd have, the physical problem that she'd had for years was suddenly changed. She'd been dealing with that for 18 years, and suddenly she was healed. Suddenly moments can change things. I mean, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know how long you've been dealing with particular situations. I don't know if you're stuck. I don't know if you need a suddenly moment. But when God shows up, things can change. You may have decided that you're going to have to put up with your stuff forever. You may have given up on getting rid of that terminal tendency or that sin or breaking off that relationship or that thing off your life. Let me just tell you, don't give up. When God shows up, change can happen. When God shows up, we know things are different. Let me just tell you a few principles, four quick principles on how you can prepare for your suddenly moment. Because we can expect it, but we have to be prepared for it if we want to see the suddenly moment that we need. Okay, I'm going to do this quickly because if I don't, then Pastor Tim is going to cut me off suddenly next week. And here's I go late. So number one, you must take the first step. You must take the first step. I don't know why this is the case, but one of the principles of heaven is that there is a need for man, for you and I, to move towards God. Oftentimes we expect for God to do everything. And God is sovereign, and God is all-powerful, and we need to put everything in God's hands, but we need to take a step first. In the story here, in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles, it says, "In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them." See, Hezekiah had to take the first move. He had to decide, you know what? We're not going to put up with this anymore. We're going to make a change, and we're going to open the doors of the temple, and we're going to clean it out. And he took that step. In 1 Kings, it tells a story of Obadiah who is going, and it says this, it says, "Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him." See, it was as Obadiah was moving forward, as he was on his way, he had made the decision that I'm going to move in a particular direction, and then suddenly Elijah shows up. See, God is waiting for you and I to take a step. God is waiting for you and I to say, you know what? I am going to move towards you. That's the principle of the kingdom. The principle of the kingdom is ask and you shall receive. What's the first principle? Ask. If you don't ask, you don't receive. Knock and the door will be opened. We can stand at the door all day long, but if we don't knock, it won't be opened. In Psalms it says, "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." See, what we must do is take responsibility for our part, which is to take the first step. If you want your suddenly moment, if you're in need of a suddenly moment today, if you need to see God show up in your life, if you've got circumstances and situations where you just go, "God, I can't deal with this anymore. I don't know how this is possible. I need you to show up." Then what you need to do is take that first step. Say, Lord, I'm moving towards you. I'm not going to just sit and wait. I'm going to open my mouth. I'm going to believe that you are big enough to fill it. But I'm going to take the first step. The second thing we need to do is we have to clean house. We have to clean house. And what did Hezekiah do? He said, get all that junk out of there. Clean out all the debris. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. 1 Corinthians, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We must clean house. I have learned that cleaning house is a constant and continual process. As I mentioned earlier, I've got four little ones in the house. And there's not a day that goes by that we don't have to clean house. You clean in the morning and it's a disaster in the afternoon. And we produce trash, and if I don't take that trash out, it's going to stink. Sometimes we have to take the trash out a couple times a day. When you got little tiny ones like I do, you take the trash out every 5 minutes. But we have to clean house, right? And if we don't keep the house clean, then it starts to smell and it starts to stink, and we're living in filth, and that's no fun. But cleaning house is something that you have to do all the time. It's not something you just do one day and you're done with it for the rest of time. It's something that you have to go back and do over and over and over again. Have you noticed this? It's the same thing in our spiritual lives. We have to clean house continually. We have to clean house frequently. We live in a world that is fallen, that is full of sin, and we walk around and we just can't help but get stained and smudged. And so what we have to do is continually go back and clean the house. Now, some of you here today, you need to clean your house. Now, I'm not talking, some of you may need to clean your little house. I don't know. I don't have any insight on that today. But some of us need to clean our spiritual house. Some of us have allowed things to creep up into our lives once again. We've got stuff in our house that literally needs to be thrown away. We've got relationships in our lives that need to be broken off. We've got things that need to change. We need to clean house. If we're not careful, we allow these things to creep back in upon us, and we start living with junk. You ever seen those TV shows where people just allow the clutter to build up in their house, and pretty soon their counters are all filled up, and they're just kind of stuck in there because they got comfortable with it. You need to clean house. It's not... It's just something that we must do all the time. So whatever it is that God has for you, if you will clean your house, you are preparing for your suddenly moment. All right, number three. The third thing we must do is covenant with God. We must covenant with God. And in verse 10, Hezekiah says this, "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." You and I, if we know Jesus, are part of a covenant. We're part of the new covenant. That is the covenant that Jesus sacrificed his blood once and for all to cover our sins. And when we receive Christ into his heart, when we declare him as Lord, and that's what we have to do. If you don't know Christ today, it's a very simple thing. The word says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for your sins, then you will be saved. It's a simple act of receiving the sacrifice of Jesus, believing that he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and letting him be the ruler of our life. Now, when we make that decision, then we have become part of this covenant with him. And see, King Hezekiah, when he says, I'm going to make a covenant with the Lord, he's actually just going back and renewing the covenant that he was already under. And that's what we have to do. We have to renew the covenant. We have to get back to basics. We have to go back to the beginning. We have to remind ourselves that, you know what? He is the one that's in control. He's the one that's the head of the house. He is the one that's the ruler and the Lord. And you know what? All these other things that I've allowed to creep in, I'm not going to allow them to creep anymore. This far and no farther, I'm recovenant with you. We have to recommit to the Lord once again. When we do that, then God looks down and he says, oh, here's a people that's ready for a suddenly moment. Oh, here's some people that are ready for me to show up. They've cleaned house. They're making a recommitment to me. They're going to walk with me. When we do that, we're prepared. Number four, lastly, you must persevere. I don't like this principle because I like things to be easy. But this principle is all about continuing until we receive. Verse 17, now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Now this was a process. I mean, it took them 8 days just to get into the vestibule, and it took them another 8 days to get the rest of it clean. I mean, they had to continue. There's a lot of junk in there. It's not just a one-time thing. You don't just make the decision, okay, open up the doors and start afresh. There has to be a constant and continual work at cleansing the house of the temple. Let's go back to this for a second to the story of the woman who touched Jesus' garment. It's a wonderful story because he's surrounded by all these people, and there's so many people. There's a crowd of people that are crushing all around him that that it was very clear that it was difficult to get to him. And the woman had heard that Jesus had the answer, that Jesus could heal her disease. And yet Jesus is surrounded by all these people. And she sees him, and you know what it must have taken for her to get to him. Have you ever been in a crowd of people where you had to push through to get towards the front? Maybe you've gone to a concert or some activity, and there's literally an elbowing that has to happen. It takes a concentration, an effort, and a work to get there. And this woman decides, you know what? I am not going to give up. I'm not going to be turned off by all these people around. I'm going to press in until I touch Jesus' garment. And so she presses in until she reaches him. Sometimes we don't press in. We don't get our suddenly moment because we don't press in. Because we give up before we even start. Because we begin to wait and we ask and we do some of the exercises, but then we just get tired. And so we give up. Ephesians 6 says, when you put on the armor of God, when you've done all that you need to do, it says, then stand. And there's a continual and constant pressure of moving forward that we must do if we're going to receive our suddenly moment. I believe God has a suddenly moment for you. I believe God has a moment where he wants to show up. He's a good God. He's your Father. He's looking down on your life, and he knows all the details, and he knows and wants to give you wisdom, and he wants to show up. What we must do is continue to press in. Some of us stop before we get there. And if you've been standing on a promise for a long time, or if you've been dealing with a situation for a long time, and you're on the edge of giving up, let me just encourage you, continue to press in. Because you don't know when that suddenly moment's going to happen. You don't know when God, but you do know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If we'll continue to press forward. So four things we must do. We want a suddenly moment. Who wants to see God show up today? Who needs God to appear suddenly in our lives? What do we have to do? We have to make a commitment. We have to take a first step. We have to step out in faith. We have to, what do we have to do? What do my notes say? Anybody remember? You have to clean house. You have to clean house. You have to covenant with him. Make a commitment to him. Say, you know what, Lord? I recommit today. All this other stuff that I've allowed to creep in, I'm not going to allow it to creep anymore. I'm going back to you. I'm going back to my first love. I'm going back to the commitment. All this other stuff, it's not where it's at. It doesn't satisfy. And lastly, we have to continue to persevere. Continue to press in until we see it. If we do that, I believe we'll be prepared for a suddenly moment. I was talking with someone last week, and they were telling me how they were in their job, and it just looked like it was no good. Their boss was driving them crazy. They'd been working there for a long time, and he was having thoughts of retiring because the situation was so miserable. And he said he began to pray and ask God, and I said, Lord, I need you to show up. I need you to change things. And in the matter of just a few short weeks, he had a boss change. The new boss came in. The new boss put him in charge of a new store at another town. And now he went from a position where he was considering retirement because he was so miserable to running his own store in another town. That's a suddenly moment. But it only happens when we come before the throne and we say, now, God, it's in your hands. Yes, I'm going to take the first step, but I'm going to expect you to do something. Who needs a suddenly moment today? Come on, guys. Would you stand with me today? If you're in need of a suddenly moment, and I'm serious, I mean, if you're at a place in your life where you really need God to show up, I want to pray for you. And if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need a suddenly moment, just raise your hands. Lord, we're a people that are in need. We need you to show up, God. When you show up, Lord, things change. When you show up, people are healed. When you show up, God, lives are transformed. When you show up, Lord, things are different. And God, we ask you for a holy moment. We ask you, God, that you would show up on the scene. For every hand that is raised today, God, that represents a situation that is in need of you showing up, God, I pray that you would look down and move quickly to respond. Lord, for those that are tempted to give up rather than press in, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them today, that the answer is on the horizon, that the King of Kings has not forgotten. Lord, bring us to a place where we believe, that we expect, God, that you can show up. So oftentimes we don't even expect it. Change our expectation, Lord. As we go out this week, I pray that you would help us to see with divine eyes where you are moving, to anticipate that you are going to show up on the scene. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Before you dismiss this morning, I just want to invite the prayer team to come up. And, you know, as they do that, let's just give our hand to God and let's just tell him thank you once again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are going to do suddenly what we don't even expect. I know in an auditorium of this size, this time of year is a difficult time of year for some of us. I spent some time talking on the phone with a number of people this week that this time of year is a sad time of the year because they have lost loved ones, because they have broken life situations. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray. There's people up here that would love to pray with you, and we just want to invite you to come forward in just a moment, and we'll stand with you and encourage you because God is present at this moment. But I know it can be a difficult time. For the rest, remember, next week, bring a friend, okay? Because for the 4 weeks, we're going to do Velma's Diner, and they'll get hooked. So bring a friend next week or the following week, because it's a progressive drama that I think you get into. It's going to be a lot of fun, as you saw today. And men, chili chili bowl. Chili chili bowl. Love you guys. Go with God. Tell Pastor Tim I got out on time.